Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. No matter what you may have been dealing with, or how big it may seem, or how long, or how hard, it's not too hard for God. And He's not in a place of trying to figure out what to do about it. He already has known. And the Bible said He has already provided a way of escape. So it's not a matter of can it be fixed? Can we get over this? Can we get past it? Yes, you can. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him or her that believes. Did you hear that last part?
Yes.
To those who
believe.
So is anything possible for anyone?
No.
Not unless they believe.
Right?
If you won't believe, then you do get limited. You do get restricted. There are things that are just not possible for you to, you know, have any different. But when you get into the area and the realm of believing in the God of creation, the limitations come off. Hallelujah. And He is able to do things in so many ways that you and I never thought of. And actually for Him, no matter how huge it might seem to us, to Him, it's easy. Father, we thank you so much that you are the gracious God, the faithful God, and the mighty God with whom nothing is too hard. Nothing is impossible. And so we ask you, Lord, to quicken us, strengthen us with strength by your Spirit in our inner man, and enlighten our hearts and minds, and lift us up above the ignorance and darkness and confusion into the light, into liberty. And we give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Everybody say it. Class, say, I'm coming up.
I'm coming up.
Higher.
Higher.
I'm coming further.
I'm coming further.
Into the light.
Into the light.
Of life.
Of life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is, the Bible tells us different things that God is. There are many things that He knows, that He has, that He can do, but this is to His essence of what He is inside and out. God is light. God is life. God is love. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Does that sound good? I mean,
yes.
Light,
yes.
Life,
yes.
Love.
Yes.
Don't let anybody confuse you about these random and wrong ideas about God's like this and God's like that, or light. That's God.
Yes.
And in Him is no darkness at all.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Life. Eternal life.
Amen.
And in Him is no death.
Yes.
No death at all. And hallelujah, love.
Yes,
and in Him is no hate. He's not hateful. He's not cruel. He's only good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we've been on a series for some time now in these days that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we are feeding ourselves, like we confessed at the beginning of the class, on the goodness of God in this area of provision. You don't go through a day of life without needing something, right?
Right.
Something to eat, mm-hmm. Something to wear. You need a place to sleep, a place to stay, you know, a way to move around, a way to travel. And if you got family, you need something for your family. If you got business, you need something for your business. If you church, ministry, the more you have going on, the more you need. More stuff you need, more money you need, more things you need. And so if you're going to live by faith successfully, you got to have faith for things too.
Yes.
Faith for money.
Yes.
Faith for supply, faith for provision.
Yes,
and you can, instead of just subsisting, you can have faith for abundance.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
More than what you require, and get into an area of being a giver, a distributor of good things.
Amen.
Over and above what it takes just to operate you daily. Does this sound good? Does this sound like it, the will of God and the plan of God? And so that's why we've been saying this for week after week now in these classes, that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now, you have to believe that, or you can't have faith in this area. You might say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, if you think, well, maybe sometimes he does want you to have it and sometimes he doesn't, then how do you know what he wants today?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What you're supposed to be believing for right now. Well, maybe he does for some, but some he does not, and there's mysterious reasons why. Well, then how do you know if you're one of the so-called lucky ones or not? You know, well, you don't. And what I'm saying, that area of I don't know, I'm not sure, that prevents faith. That results in instability and wavering. And that's what James says. If you're wavering, don't think you're going to receive anything. Well, what can I be besides wavering? You can be convinced. You can be like Abraham, fully persuaded.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Of what God said.
Amen.
And that he is well able to perform and is faithful to do what he said. So that's why, instead of just theorizing about it, we're giving one after another 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not a denominational or religious or spiritual group's position. Scriptures. It is written in the Bible. Now, if you don't respect that, you don't respect God, no matter what you say. Because, I mean, he says he has exalted his word above his name. And Jesus actually is the word made flesh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you don't respect the word, and I'm talking about the written word, what we call the Bible, if you don't believe that's inspired of God, then you are open to any kind of deception and any kind of being misled, and you will be unstable your whole life. But when you accept and put faith in that this is, these are not just the words of men, they're the words of God, and that they are forever established, and you allow the Word of God to be first place in your life and the final answer on everything, when you do that, your life moves onto the rock. Your life moves onto the immovable foundation. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But if not, if you're, well, I think this and they think that and so-and-so, you know, thinks this is how it is, and you will never be stable. You'll be up, you'll be down, you'll be, I think so, I don't know, I'm not sure. Who can tell? Nobody can know. No, when God says it, that's how it is. Whether you think so or not, and thank God, he doesn't change. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Because if he changed, if he was flippant, wouldn't be anything we could do about it.
Right?
If we're trying to stand on something he said yesterday, and he said, you know, forget that, I'm changing today. This is what I'm saying. We'd be done. We'd be hopelessly confused and unstable, which is why he does not change. How many have read that or heard that in the scripture? He does not change. He cannot lie. We have strong confidence.
Amen.
We have an anchor
yes.
for our soul.
Yes.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And so we have been giving, like I said, for a number of weeks now, reason after reason, 30 of these from scriptures, while we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud. Abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me.
For who?
For me.
When?
Now.
Today?
Yes.
Always.
Huh?
Always.
This week? This month?
Yes.
For all your bills to be paid?
Yes.
All your needs to be met?
Yes.
Even enjoy some good things?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You've got to get that settled or you'll not be able to have faith in this area of your life. And when I say faith, people have faith in all different kind of things. And a lot of people put faith in things they should not put faith in. When I say faith, when we're talking about faith school, we're talking about faith in God.
Amen.
Faith in the Creator.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what we're talking about every time we refer to faith. So go with me, if you would, to Mark, the last chapter of Mark, the 16th chapter. And let's continue in our study. We're down to reason number 25. If you haven't been with us, go online to faithschool.org and all the previous 25 lessons are there, and there's no charge. It won't cost you anything, and it'll help you because we're building one on another. And we just got through talking about if you're not sure of something, you're unstable and you're not in faith, how do you get there? Well, faith comes by hearing, the Scripture said, and hearing by the Word of God. And did you hear that? Hearing and hearing. And hearing. That's why we didn't just give you one reason, you know. Reason one, even if you came up thinking something radically different from the Bible or had been taught radically different from the Bible for decades, if you respect the Scriptures and if you hear and receive it and you're open to the truth, you hear reason number one. Well, that's what it says. Number two, right? That agrees with number one. Three, you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Four, five, six, and well, I reckon that's all right there in the Bible, right?
Yes.
Eight, nine, ten. After a while, if you keep receiving it, it will push the doubt out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It will push out the wondering, the wavering, the questioning, until all you're left with is knowing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And being sure and being fully persuaded of what He said. And when you get to that place, you're in a position to have strong faith for your provision and for your bills to be paid and all these things, because you're no longer doubting. Well, number 26 in our study, we'll see it here in Mark 16:14. Jesus had raised from the dead and has appeared to the disciples. And here, verse 14, He appeared to the 11 as they sat at food, and He upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Now think about how important this is. Jesus has just raised from the dead. And of all the things He would be more concerned about in talking to them and about the beginning days of the church and going forward and the gospel, what is foremost in His dealing with them? Their unbelief. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you see this?
Yes.
Why would that be so? Because this can mess everything up.
Yes.
This can hinder what God wants to do in your life. The unbelief and the hardness of heart. And what it is, it's the New Testament reveals two majorly different kinds of unbelief. One is ignorant unbelief. Paul talked about that when he was Saul and persecuting the church. He said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He thought he was doing something good, but he wasn't. But then in the book of Hebrews, it talks about the Israelites that God brought out of Egyptian bondage, that for 40 years He was never able to get them to believe him and trust him. And the word that's used there describes unpersuadable. It's a defiant unbelief. In other words, you can't make me believe. I refuse to believe. That, if you take that position on something with God, and weeks and months keep going by and years and you won't change, you are headed for destruction.
That's right.
That's the only end of that. Thank God you can repent.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
and you can become a believer. But it's a choice. Believing is a choice. Don't say you can't. That's an untrue statement. Just by nature of what believing in faith is, you can believe anything. All you got to do is look around. People have some bizarre beliefs, right? It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be reasonable. You can believe anything you decide to believe. It's a choice. Believing is a choice. And oh, you're a wise and a blessed person if you choose to believe your Creator. Choose to believe your faithful God who cares about you, who loves you, and who cannot lie. Somebody say, I do.
I do.
I trust
the living God.
I choose
to believe God.
Well, the foundation of this is believing His written word. It said here, verse 15, He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach or proclaim the gospel to every creature or created being. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So again, why is he emphasizing believing? Because in just two verses later, he's talking about this determines whether you're saved or lost.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
This determines heaven or hell. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned, or that's the same word for condemned. And then he goes on to say, these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. Believe. Go to Romans, the 10th chapter. This is our 26th reason in our study of 30 here. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the Great Commission. You could call it the main directive that Jesus, the head of the church, has given to the church. What is it? Go where? Into all the world. This is a global initiative.
Yes,
to do what?
Preach
the gospel to everybody on the planet.
Yes,
well, if we just stop right here, reckon it'd take some resources.
Yes.
To do that.
That's right.
Huh? Global initiative?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do it? Well, there's travel,
mm-hmm. right?
Yes, there's venues to speak at.
Mm-hmm.
There are books. There's radio. There's TV. There's internet. There's mm-hmm. satellite. The list goes on, right? Does God want this message out?
Yes.
Or does He want it hid in a corner with a few little broke folks? I tell you, hold your... you thought that was funny, didn't you? Hold your place there in Romans 10. We'll get there in a minute. But go to Ecclesiastes. I'd like for you to notice this. Ecclesiastes and 9. We're asking and answering the question, does God want this message to get out? Well, does it require resources to get this message out? In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 13, and this is part of what we call the wisdom writings, wisdom scriptures. 9:13, he said, this wisdom have I seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city, and few men in it. There came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered the same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Why? Because even though this little town didn't have the forces to meet the other force, wisdom saved them from even having to fight. So he said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. And his what? Words are not heard. Does God want our words heard?
Yes.
Are not heard?
Heard.
Then he doesn't want us poor.
That's right. Amen.
Can you see this or not?
Yes.
Because the poor man's words are despised and not heard. Now it's not about making some big thing out of ourselves, but we shouldn't be begging for media scraps. If you know what I mean by that. Well, we hope something might get out. No, we should. It's God's will for us to have full resources. The best of what's available in our generation to do what? Not just anything, but to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And you know, Matthew 28, Jesus said this. Right before he went, ascended as well, he said, teach all men what I have said to you. And so the gospel and everything that he has said to us, God wants it out.
Yes, he does.
I said he wants it out.
Yes, yes.
And you know, he's no respecter of persons. The things that have helped me and helped these folks here and changed our lives so radically, wouldn't he want everybody to be at least as helped as us?
Yes.
At least as benefited, delivered, healed, freed, provided for?
Yes.
He wants this out.
Yes.
He wants this message to go around the world.
Yes.
You know, the prophet said that the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Well, boy, have you ever tried to look across the Pacific Ocean? You can't see very far. It goes on and it wraps around. It wraps around that part of the globe. And he's talking about the glory of God covering the whole earth. But not just the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God. Well, this is the knowledge of God. We are not supposed to hide our candle under the bushel. Huh? We're not supposed to hide in a corner somewhere and just preach to you and me and myself and two other folks. Huh? Tell me the Great Commission. Come on, help me out. Go. 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 We have trucks. We have, we're involved in a ship in the South Pacific. We're involved in aircraft, in missions and different things. And we're going to keep going.
That's
right. Yes, we are. Go. Going. So, Mr. Where you need all that? Go. To go. And then what? Go. And come back. And go. Huh? Why? Because we're running out of time. You know, time, we do not have unlimited amounts of time. Even if the Lord tarried is coming for a few hundred years, you and I don't have that kind of time. In our life, we've got what? A few decades? What do we got? And then we're out of here, and it's for the next generation. But what are we supposed to be doing?
Going.
Help me out. Help me out. We're supposed to be going into all the world. Global initiative.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes,
sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yes, your town. Yes, your community. But the next one over.
That's right. That's right.
And the next
That's
one
right.
over.
Yes.
And the next county.
Yes.
And cross the state line.
Yes.
Come here with me or not?
Yes. Yes.
Cross the country border.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Go on up north.
Mm-hmm.
Go on down south.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Cross the ocean.
Yes.
Yes.
Go.
Go.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every created being. That's going to require, it does require, will require substantial resources. Right? And then we'll look at this later on, but that's not the end. Once you reach people, now you need to teach them.
Yes.
Is that right? There need to be churches.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Churches and places for people to grow up in the things of God. So now we're talking buildings, we're talking lands, we're talking outreach.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does God want you to have it?
Yes.
How could he want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel and want you broke? That doesn't work, right? That doesn't work. That severely limits us. And it's the enemy that wants to limit you.
That's right.
And you'll find two big ways the enemy is always trying to limit you and me. If he can get you sick enough. If he can get you sick enough, you can't leave the house. Can't leave the bed. Can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. And even if you're not sick, if you don't have enough money to fill up a tank of gas, is that right? Can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. And so you're limited. You're stuck. It's like you're stuck in a fishbowl. You're stuck in a jail cell. He can do that through enough sickness or through enough poverty. So these things cannot be the will of God when he's calling us to go everywhere and preach to everybody and help everybody. No. Said out loud, abundant provision,
is
God's will
and God's plan,
for me.
It is his will
for me to have more than enough
every day of my life
to help preach this gospel
all over the
world. Hallelujah. I believe it. I'm convinced.
I'm
not arguing with it. Here I am, Lord.
Use me.
Fill me up.
Send me.
I'm glad to do it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just lift a hand and thank him for a moment. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, our time's up again. Aren't you glad you can be sure about this? But come back tomorrow. There's more to shout about here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.